Tom and Susie. So I've, because Tom and Susie have been with us for the weekend, I've kind of introduced them quite a bit. So, and some of you have heard probably every introduction, so I don't want to repeat myself too much. But Tom and Susie, many of you know them very well. Some of you won't know them at all, and that's fine. I hope you like them, because they're probably going to come back. They are part of the oversight of the church, so it would be inappropriate for them not to come back. Tom and Susie, in this particular trip, they were the speakers at a conference in Bishop Stortford. I think Chrissy and Jean, you were there, weren't you? Did they do a good job?
Yes.
Well, excellent, yeah. So we heard amazing, we've heard through various people that it was a very significant conference for that church in Bishop Stortford. One quote we heard was it could be a game changer, which is awesome, isn't it? And then they were at a conference of leaders of various churches, including mega churches. And that was based in a very big church in Peterborough. And so they were, you know, involved in various high-powered things there. And you were part of the team delivering teaching there, weren't you? Something I've always known, but really fell into place for me the other night as we were chatting, is that these really are our Hollywood friends. That it's so inappropriate to drop names, isn't it? It's such a terrible thing to do. But this dear friend of mine, Susie Brock, her daughter for quite a few years has been involved in organising a fundraising event where the top name, the kind of patron, I suppose, is Sean Penn. Some of you will know who Sean Penn is. And various celebrities come to that event and give money in like an auction. So this year, Susie was available and Susie was at her daughter's... So Susie's daughter was doing the thing. I'm going to say
it. So weird you're sharing this.
Well, I just... It means a lot to me. And Susie was there this time just as a volunteer helping out. And it was Susie's job to check in people like Julia Roberts, Brad Pitt, Tom Hanks, Idris Elba, etc. Look at Jacob, Idris Elba, oh my word! So that's just fun. I just love the fact they're involved in that world. Tom and Susie have big connections in the whole Christian music world. And they're also friends of ours, which is an enormous privilege for us. And for those who've already known them and come across them, I'm sure you will know that they are lovely, lovely people. They really carry the Holy Spirit with them. And we hugely respect and honour what they bring. So I'd invite you to open your hearts to them and just be very ready to receive anything that Father God wants to give you through their ministry today. May it be a time of significant breakthrough and freedom and healing for every single person in the room. Amen. So let's welcome them.
Oh, my word. Okay, honey, you can come back later. Boys, take your seats. That is so weird that he would share that. Why? Jesus is way better. Listen, Brian, in all honesty, I like you better than Brad Pitt. I do. You, Christ in you. Actually, I think actually Brad may have gotten saved recently. You know, there's been some changes. Listen, guys, you know we're family, right? Some of you have never seen us before and you're like, who are these people? We are Jesus followers. I mean, all of that, it's so funny, the nonsense of celebrity. You know, I mean, the whole thing, it's just crazy. What is greater than you and I, the day we accept Jesus Christ, he comes into our heart, and it's the Colossians 1:27, Christ in me. You know, it's that moment that everywhere I go, I just walk with this Lord in me. I walk with this God, the living God. When Brian was saying that whole thing about stirring up in yourself, you know, what was that song about the soul? Arise my soul, arise my soul. What is the scripture to that? Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come. It's not coming, it has come. You know, in the Amplified Bible, it says it so incredibly. It says, arise out of the prostration and frustration in which current circumstances have held you down, because the glory of the Lord has come. And it's what Peter said to Timothy one day. He said, listen, Timothy, it's your responsibility to fan into a flame the gift of God that resides within you. It's your responsibility. You know, that Christ, he came. You know, I always tell you guys, you know, when I'm sharing and I'm on a plane and then it inevitably just works out that somebody says, oh, what do you do for a living? And then, you know, pretty much for Tom and I, we're stuck. We got a witness now. Cause, you know, I can't say, well, I'm a plumber. And then they don't like, okay, well, that's nice. I don't want to talk to you anymore. But the minute you say, well, we're in ministry, we're speakers, what? What do you speak about? And what do you mean ministry? And then you're off to the races and everybody wants to know. And I always say this, you know, when it gets to that point, which it always does, where they say, how can you say there's only one God? And I say, well, you know what? He's the only God that came back for me. So I choose him. He's the only God that came back for me to rescue me, to live with me, and to walk every day of my life with me. So I'm going to go with that God. You probably should too. And it's funny how many people go, oh, I didn't think about that. I'm like, you need to think about that. Because that is reality and that's truth. And sometimes this is the deal. I read this morning and I'm not even sure where I read it. Facebook somewhere or Instagram. Who knows where I found it. But it was really, really good. It said sometimes we don't know that there's more. We don't hunger and thirst for the more until the more is presented to us. And I think that is the purpose of our gatherings. That is why you bring in people that come from someplace else. You know, we always say, you know, the advantage that Tom and I have, some of you know, this is our life. We are on the road a lot. We fly 120,000 miles every flipping year. Okay? I'm not bitter about it. I'm just saying that's the facts. Okay? And the advantage we have sometimes is that we can come into a situation and we can be outside the forest to see the trees. Because sometimes we get in the trees and I don't see a path. And we come flying in and we're like, no, there's a path. There's a path and there's a way and there's a God and you're okay. And there's more. What does the scripture says? It says this. It says that he will do the more than hoped or imagined, right? There is more than hoped or imagined. A lot of people say, yeah, I am 60-something, never experienced more than I ever hoped or imagined. Well, you know what my answer is? That more than hoped or imagined is coming because God's not a liar. And all the promises are yes and amen to those that believe. But there is a reality in all of our lives. It is my responsibility to seek. It is not, you know, Brian and Mary or Mauricio and Sibeli's responsibility to seek for me and then spoon feed me. It's my responsibility to seek the face of the Lord, to go before him, to cry out, to go after. Well, I'm just in a really dry place and it's really hard. Well, then get up and go look for water or you're going to die. I know that sounds so mean, but this is the thing, guys. I've been with you a long time. Tom and I have been coming. We are family now. And family speaks truth. Let me just read it out of Ephesians 3:20, the Passion Translation. Tom is coming up. You know, I'm going to give him at least 10 minutes. Never, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Sometimes we get the delightful job of coming before a church or a body of believers and reminding them that there's the more and make them hungry, put salt on their lips. To remind them that Christ in you, not just Christ in the pastors or Christ in the speakers or Christ in the famous evangelists, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You need to go after him. You need to thirst for him. And I'm reminding you today with the platform that I've been given this morning that to remind you that that promise is real for you. It's not just real for me. We have lived long enough in the Lord to know, yeah, there's more, and it's really good. You should go for it. You should go after it. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, honey, warmed up and ready to go for you. Few new faces, but they seem nice. Don't be afraid.
Good morning. It is good to be back, And everyone said, it's not like we're just guest speakers. We're part of the landscape of what God's doing here, and we're blessed by that. Guys, what I want to share with you this morning is I think that the Lord wants to impart to us a vision and an understanding of the line of demarcation that we're coming to, that this is a transitional time. But it's not, when we say transition, it's like, oh, what's that mean? It means really in our own hearts that we make a decision that we will not be satisfied with the status quo any longer, but that we'll press on to the upward call of Christ Jesus within our life. So I want to start that with, you know, when it comes to going through transition, usually, it's kind of like, the pastors get up, go, come on, everybody, let's move. You know, kind of like sheep being herded into a pen or cows, being down the little, gateway, go, like, move it, and a little sticking on the side. And we move down this thing. Do we get to where we're going to go to? And we call that transition. But I don't think that's what we're looking at. I think what we're looking at right now is every man, woman, and child to take responsibility for their independent walk before the kingdom of God. As we come together as individuals, we create the family of God. Okay? But if you sit there and come as a mob, just unidentified, undefined, and just walk into a room and saying, this is us, that isn't it. It's every individual discovering who they are and what they are in the kingdom of God. We have a tendency when we come to church to kind of sit back, relax, and leave the driving to somebody else. True? Well, thank goodness I don't have to lead worship. They're doing it. And, oh, that's a good song. I can kind of sing every other verse. And we kind of just move into that mode of expression versus taking responsibility. Now, what Brian said, it's really interesting in the areas of prayer. Isn't it tragic that we have to be prompted to pray? We are at this conference that Brian mentioned. And part of the subject, there was three subjects, worship, prayer, and prophetic. And in that, there was quite a bit of focus on prayer. And we were talking to some of the guys. And, when we were pastoring, we were confronted with prayer as being a lifestyle and being part of, integrated into who you are and what you are and not something you do. It's like kissing is part of marriage. But you don't say, well, I'm going to read a book on kissing. You don't read a book on, okay, what is the best time to kiss? It is from the spontaneous work of our hearts that is in there, from the passion that's been ignited, from the love that you have with your partner, true? And you kiss because you wanna, not because you gotta. True? And that's really, I see that, that's prayer. But in that, for us to be encouraged to pray. Now, this is an old statistic, but here it is, that the average pastor, this is a U.S. statistic, prays 45 seconds a week. And that's usually because they're too busy doing the stuff and they don't, oh, Lord, bless this mess, here we go. And we get up in the morning, bless this food. I mean, if you start adding up, that was a second, that was another second, and so on. That is what prayer has consisted of. Instead of understanding that it is our obligation, what good would it do if I only talked to Susie 45 seconds a week?
You're lost.
Yeah. Exactly. So with that in mind, would I know what she wants? Would I understand her temperament? Would I know her needs of the situation? No, I would be on the outside looking in. And most of us in our relationship with the Lord are on the outside looking in, and we want the things of God. You wouldn't come to a church like this. You don't have to leave. I'll change the subject. No. I'm really sorry. We won't talk about prayer. No, but if we don't know the things of the Lord and we don't walk in the things of the Lord, then we're not familiar with the things of the Lord. You wouldn't come to a church like this unless you were hungry to know more about God, right? Yeah. I mean, you could go down the road. They probably have better chairs, but at least a higher ceiling. But, you would go somewhere where, it was like, they have dinner after church or whatever it may be. You would find something more. But when you come here, you're coming here because there's a hunger inside of your heart to encounter the presence of the Lord. But I got news for you. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord, you could sit here and have the best worship in the Lord, the best teaching ever. You know, you could have all the environment, the right lighting for the presence of God to come, and you'll always be on the outside looking in because you haven't taken responsibility for who you are and what you are and your destiny within the Holy Spirit. This is the line of demarcation the Lord's calling, you know, beginning to bring. One of the things we've been sharing lately is from Corinthians, where it says, when I was a child, what? I spoke as a child, I acted like a child. But when I became an adult, I put away childish things. Guys, do you understand that when you come to church, it's like going home? You know what it is? How many of you, when you go home, realize that no matter how old you are, now, if you're too old, your mom and dad are gone, you don't go home there anymore. But when you walk in the house, you're 16 years old, right? And so you know your kids, when they walk in the house, even if they're older, how old are they? They're 16. Suddenly they start doing things like, what? You know, Mom, I need a jet. Could you do my laundry? You know, this kind of an idea where everything reverts back to that point where they expect you to take care of everything because, well, you're mom and dad, right? And that's kind of the situation. When we walk in the church, suddenly we revert to infants in the kingdom of God. Oh, I don't know it. I don't know how to overcome my problems. You know, come on, Pastor, feed me. And we do that. We kind of wait for him to come, regurgitate what he got from the Lord and jam it down your throat like a mother bird, you know. I'm glad you came back. But I feel better now. But it worries you, you know, that kind of happens. But, you know, so you come to that point where you're not gaining for yourself, but you're expecting it to be, you know, regurgitated, fixed up. Now here, open your mouth, you know, and just like a baby, and have this pre-chewed food and put into your mouth that we go, well, that was good, you know, and no lumps. It's awesome, you know, and that's kind of how that works, right? Well, listen, I don't know about you, but, you know, have you ever eaten baby food? It really doesn't have a lot of flavor, right? And so you don't want to do that. You shouldn't want to do it in real life, and you shouldn't want to do it in the kingdom of God. And the Lord is inviting us to come to a different table. He's calling us to say, be responsible, cut your own meat, okay? And in that, I'm telling you, you cannot do that unless you have been spending time in communicating with the Father. We call it prayer. But in truth, guys, it is simple communication with the one our heart loves. And again, if you don't understand that concept of communicating with the one your heart loves, it means basically that you're talking about your relationship with the Lord on a different level. Because you see, He's caused us, you know, I think I shared this last time we were here, I don't remember, but the areas of, you know, Paul speaking about marriage, you know, he's talking about, you know, for this reason a man will leave his mother and father and so on, and the two will become one. And then he interrupts himself. Oh, excuse me for a moment. I know this is a great mystery, but when I speak of marriage, I'm speaking of Christ and his church. You see? And so what he's doing, he's taking this out of this liturgical, this religious methodology, and he's bringing it into a point of this is love. And have you ever noticed that you don't have to talk young lovers to be together? You know, it's like, you know, what are you guys going to do today? Oh, nothing. We're going home. You know, and they're totally stoked. They're totally happy to go and be with each other because inside of them is a burning, the passion to share with each other the passion that they have, right? You know, I mean, it is true. And by the way, that doesn't have to grow old. You know, I didn't like it when they said all the young people go out because I wanted to go. But, you know, it was like they wouldn't let me. But it is that point of don't categorize, you know, I'm old and gray, so therefore I can't enjoy the passion of love anymore. Shut up. That isn't true. True? You know, it's like when your kids walk in the room and see you kissing. Ew! You guys still do that? You know, don't your teeth fall out? You know, all those kind of things. They don't understand that that love is actually deeper and more intimate than it's ever been before. True? And so in that, guys, what we want to understand, that is the natural speaking to the invisible. Don't let your love grow cold, but you need to whisper in each other's ear. You need to communicate. You need to understand that that passion never dies. The natural speaks to the invisible. That's the Lord. That we don't want to grow cold in our relationship with Him. We don't want to be separated in our relationship with Him. How can we know the flow if we're not talking to the one our heart loves? How can we go forward and into the things of the Spirit and all the promotion that God's bringing in the body, that we grow closer and closer and closer if we're not talking to Him in prayer? Prayer is the essence of our existence. We must have communication with God. You must talk to the one your heart loves. If you don't, then you're just living in assumption. Well, she's always wanted that. She's always done that. She, you know, it's Thursday, so, you know, and it just these preconceived ideas of what the day will bring instead of walking in that place of intimacy. True? True? And I think the Lord is jealous for that relationship to be reignited, that we no longer, and I like what Brian said, that, and he said it politely, but I really do think he'd kick you in the butt. You know, I really do. I think he'd just say, stand up, rise up, because I'm tired of a mediocre relationship. I'm tired of mediocrity on all levels. You know, listen, the Bible's not as polite as Brian. You know, it says, either you be hot or cold, or I'm going to vomit. How's that? Oh, I'm the vomit of the Lord. You know, it's like, you know, I'm just in that special place, you know, and well, you came from the inside, but you know, that's not what we're looking for. You know, we want to be hot or cold. Cause see, there's nothing worse than diminishing the power of God and making excuses. You know, we heard this said, and I think it's a great thing. Do you understand that people on the outside are coming to this church to meet God? And all they're getting is us. Now, you're nice folks, but you're not God. Do you understand what that says, though? We say we are people of the promise. We say we are people of the Word. We have formulated and we're doing what we said we're doing in this room because the status quo that we came from was not adequate to bring us into the place of intimate, excited relationship with God. True? But what have we done? We've made our relationship to this point very sterile and very comfortable because what we've done, we've focused on thinking about ourselves versus the understanding of the Father's heart that He sent His Son with what passion? That the world would know Him and would walk with Him and would not be lost. Jesus says, as I was sent into the world, how am I sending? I'm sending you. With the same passion, with the same motivation, with the same job description, that the world would know that God loves us and God loves them and that they can come to a point of relationship with God that they've never had before. That should be the environment that we create. Yes, we want to shake, rattle, and roll. Yes, we want to have a party on. Yes, we want to see the presence of God moving, but with a purpose. With a purpose. That when the lost come in, that they say, who is this God that you have met? I haven't met Him. Man, I want to know Him like you know Him. You know, we don't want them to look at you and go, what happened to you? I got born again. Oh, I hope it doesn't happen to me. Because, you know, you look pretty bad. You know, that, you know, you want them to look at you and go, wow. I want to taste, that's right. I want some of that. Give me what you're cooking. You know. And in that the flavor explodes in their mouth. I was talking to someone the other day, you know, just about the journey from, you know, the promised land, from the wilderness to the promised land. And, you know, there's some good news and bad news in that whole story. That when Joshua took over, the Lord said, now this is it. You're going to be the new boss. Can you imagine taking that job? You know, and whose shoes are you filling? Oh, Moses. Who's that? You know, it's like, oh my gosh, is that true that I have to follow in that situation? But there it is. He's in that. And he comes across and the Lord says, now wherever you place the soles of your feet, I'm going to give you. You're going to enter into the promises. Everything we have spoken to your ancestors. This is it. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is it. You're going into the promised land. Yay. Of course, the next thing is that you're going to have to circumcise all the men. Oh, you know, it's like, you know, it became like, what? You know, this. And, you know, that's a great story. We'll talk about it some other time. But in this, here's what happened, though. It says that after that had taken place and all the men had been sanctified before the Lord, here's what happened. They said the next morning, the manna stopped. True? Now, I mean, they've been eating manna how long? 40 years. Now listen, I don't care how creative cook you are, all right? You know, manicotti, manna waffles, you know, you know, manna, whatever. Eventually it's like, oh, what are we having for dinner? Manna, you know, it's like, you know, I can you imagine, and this is the point, can you imagine the flavor explosion in their mouth when they ate for the first time the produce and the product of the promised land? It's like, whoa, milk and honey, wow, almonds, fruit, I mean, all the promises. The good news is there was a new flavor in the mouth. But guess what? From that day on, the manna just didn't show up at the doorstep. It wasn't walking in on Sunday morning, manna. It wasn't that. It was them going out and gathering the produce of the land, gathering the product of the promised land. I can't imagine, even after 2 or 3 weeks, that anybody would say, Mom, could you make, you have any manna left? I don't think anybody ever wanted to see manna again. Because that season of eating it, the same old, over and over and over and over again. Manna in the morning, manna in the evening, manna at supper time. I mean, this is it. Constantly manna. Doesn't that kind of sound like us? We're eating the same thing over and over and over again. And the Lord's saying, I want to bring an explosion of flavor in your mouth for who I am and what I am. I want to give you a new sense of existence and being, that when you come and dine, that it's something new, fresh, and exciting. But it doesn't happen just because, well, we're making up this today for dinner. It's every individual bringing their part of the product to the table, coming together and ready to sit and share with one another the fruitfulness of the kingdom of God within our lives. Yeah, okay, sometimes you can show up and, you know, it's like when you do potlucks or, you know, gatherings where everybody comes together and, you know, the guy who brings the chips or crisps, you know, and that's, you know, it's like, yeah, oh yeah, I brought something. You know, it's like, and there's 25 bags of crisps, you know, one pot of lasagna. You know, all right, I'm first. And, you know, so, and that's why it's good to be the guest speaker. But, you know, it's like, you know, if everyone just takes a cheap shot, doesn't take the time, well, what's the variety of the meal? Whatever was on sale at Tesco's. True? No. Come and dine. And come before the Lord, and He would bring that point of maturity into our walk, that we would see Him in that new way, so that when people come and we say, let's have dinner, that you know it's going to be good. I shared this with you before, but a few years ago, we are attending church that our son-in-law and daughter work for. And we were sitting in towards the back with our grandchildren. And I was sitting next to her youngest son. And our youngest, well, of her side of the family, his youngest one. And they brought communion around. And they were, you know, the one with the little silver thing. And you had the little cup and the little, you know, tiny wafer thing. And so it came over and he was sitting next to me. And so I held it. And I'm going to hold it for him so he could take. So I reached over to him and he goes, no, no, I'm not hungry. And I thought, oh, what a prophetic statement. You know, because think about it. What do we offer the lost? What do we offer, you know, if this is come to the Lord's table? It's a little shot glass that doesn't even wash out your mouth, right? And you have this thing that's indescribable. You know, what is it? It is manna. You know, it's like, what was that? You know, and you get just stuck in your teeth or sticks to the roof of your mouth. That's that. If that's the table of the Lord, come and dine. If, you know, and think about it. What's nutrition? It could even be gluten and it probably wouldn't bother you. You know, if you were gluten free, it wouldn't bother you because there's nothing of substance in that meal. And yet, as we look at church history, that meal is one of the most significant meals that was ever presented to the disciples. True? Taste and eat and see that I'm good. This is my body. Uh-huh. You know, and that's that. You know, this is my blood. not too much. I don't want to be too radical. You know, and that's how we go. You know, I think we need to rethink, because that's how the world sees us. That we have this little particle of what we call the body of Christ and what we call the blood of Jesus. And it's like, I mean, we scare people even with that whole concept. You know, you're eating what? Yeah, the blood. You know, you're vampires, you know, zombie boys, you know, and this kind of an idea that comes in there. Or shouldn't it be something of flavor? Even if you've just had great dinner and someone's cooking something that just catches the aroma, you'll eat it anyway, right? Because that's how we are. It's like, I don't eat because I'm hungry. I eat because it's there, you know, and that's kind of how it is. But in that, when it comes to church, people walk by and what do they say? I'm not hungry. But what should be the aroma that's coming out of here? Fresh bread. You know, something of fine wine, right? And this should be the seduction of the Spirit, that when people come in, wow, I don't know who's making it, but whatever they make, wow, I love eating there. True? Everyone brings their part, and everyone becomes part of that aroma of the Holy Spirit that draws in the lost. And as a child, what's for dinner? What are you bringing? It's part of the dining. It's part of the body. You know, I do like, I don't know where it went. Oh, there. I love the size of that offering basket. You know, man, I hate it when you go to a, we're going to receive a love offering and it's this little, you know, milk bottle thing, you know, don't feel bad if it doesn't fit. We weren't worried, you know, but no, this, you know, this is great. And I think that should be full. Especially if you're taking an offering for us. I think it should really be, you know. But I think that we need to understand that when we come with expectation. And that's really what I wanted to talk to you about this morning, was that point of going beyond what we, immeasurably more than we can hope or imagine. Guys, we've been existing with the idea of making life comfortable for us. All right? But that's gonna change. The Lord's bringing a transition into the move right now that you need to make room for the lost. You need to make room for the next generation of church. I'm not talking about age category here. I'm talking about new people coming in to the presence of the Lord. That when they walk in this room, that there's more than enough pressed down, shaken together, running out all over the provision of the Lord that will bring about a fulfillment as they taste and see that the Lord is good. And in that, you know, our offering baskets, you know, like the thing with Sri Lanka, that's awesome. You know, but that should be like, we should be sending containers down. And if we don't have enough among ourselves, we can go around and talk to stores that are getting rid of their products. And we can go around and talk to other churches and join in together to meet the particular need. But think beyond this level and begin to do immeasurably more than we can hope or imagine, right? Now, I think that we have to dream a little bit. I really do. I think we have to begin to discipline ourselves to begin to think greater than ourselves, right? Well, we'll just take enough for us, and then we kind of leave it. But no, I'm not taking enough for myself. I'm taking for my neighborhood. You know, the family joke, you know, at our house, is that when I cook for an army. You know, it's like, there's only going to be 8 of us and I'm cooking for 30, you know, that's the way it should be. That's right. But the thing is, to me, I think there should be leftovers and not people going, oh, there's not enough. Don't you hate it when you go to somebody's house, you know, and they put out a piece of meat to cut up between 6 people and you realize that's usually what I would eat by myself. Have you ever been there? You know, it's like, oh, well, thank you so much. You know, where's the rest of the cow? You know, it's like, it's just that intimidating thing. I want people to come and sit at the table and know you can have all you want and you can come back for seconds and thirds and fourth. It's not a problem. And we'll even give you a doggy bag to take home. Doesn't bother me. It doesn't offend. We do Thanksgiving. You know, I know it's an American thing, but we do it, you know, coming up next month for us. And, you know, again, usually there's, what, 12, 14 of us around our table, but we always, I always tell Susie, we need to do at least two birds. And they're like 20, 30 pounds. And I go, we need to do at least two because you never know who's going to drop in. And I also know this, everybody wants to take home what mom made or what grandma made. You know, that's kind of it. So I want to make sure that when everyone sits at that table, no one thinks twice, right? That you just go, there's plenty on the table. That's what the Lord wants us to begin to think about. All right? That was just a little hint for lunch this afternoon. I'm not saying anything, no, but it is that understanding that it goes beyond self-survival. It goes beyond just providing for myself. Hope he can do immeasurably more than we can hope, believe or hope for, ask or hope for. And in that, I think that we need to begin to see that the imagination. Now look it. How many of you know that for this body to be more effective, we need to step out of the boundaries that we have right now? True?
Yeah.
So what do we think? Well, let's just get 25 more chairs and make them blue. You know, no, that isn't going to cut it. What we need to be thinking about is, where can we open up an opportunity for a youth club where kids can come in, where we can offer help to moms who are single moms and all the babies? Where can we do something during the winter that they can come in and have a playground, you know, the whole nine yards? What can we do for our teens? What can we do for our seniors? What can we do? Where can we, what can this vehicle do? Listen, if I can think about it, if I can imagine it, well, that's child's play. Because then God says he can do immeasurably more. So I don't want to just, you know, so if I think here, then God says, have you ever thought about here? And it's like, whoa, wow, that's a good idea, God. You're pretty smart. And if we begin to embrace that expansion of who we are and what we are, then we're going to see that manifestation take place. And guess what? When it's that big, everyone gets to participate. Everyone gets to be part. It isn't just one platform standing in front of the church. It is a platform across the line, in home to home, in meeting to meeting, gathering to gathering, one on one. We have an opportunity to be influencers to those people that we come in contact with. It isn't a stage, it's a platform. Difference? A stage is for a show, a platform is to influence. True? And we want to change that because we've raised ourselves and we've learned to swallow the stage. But we're looking to see this, that when anybody comes into the room, that they have an opportunity to be influenced by the presence of the Holy Spirit that dwells where? Right here. Let me read you the scripture in Luke. It says this, then Jesus said, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me three loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer them. And suppose one of inside answered, don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of the friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks, receives. And everyone who seeks, finds. And everyone who knocks, what? The door will be opened. Which of you, as fathers, would, if your son asked you for a fish, would give him a snake instead? Or if he asked for an egg, you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil... and know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? Here's the word. I think the Lord wants you to have the audacity to ask. Not just, we're hungry, you got anything? No, I need enough to feed the people. True? And he says, if you ask, guys, this is beyond our need. It's the need of those who are passing through. And the Lord wants to bring it up to a point. You know, how much more will this Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit? I think we need to quit wishing and a hoping. You know, cross our fingers, you know, three coins in the fountains, click your heels together, no place like home, you know, that kind of an idea. But we actually moved to the point of saying, you know what, Lord? We've got strangers in the middle of the night that are coming to our door and we don't have any bread to give them. We need you to get up and bring that which of substance to our lives, that when we pray for the sick, they get healed. When we pray for those that need the deliverance, it comes into the room. When we see the power of the Holy Spirit come, that it isn't just good words that we say, but we see the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit take place, and we see tangible results of His Spirit enter the room. This is what we need to see. This is what we have to have. This is what we want to see, the manifest glory of the Lord come and take place in our lives. True? True? And that's what we want. So we need to begin to have the audacity. We need to have the audacity to ask for more. The Lord's table is never bleak. Yes. There's more than we can hope or imagine. Right? We know what we're looking for. This isn't just about us. This is for, let this song be sung for a generation that is not even yet born. Right? When people walk in this door, let them find God through the representation of Him in our lives. Let's prepare a meal that everyone can come and dine because of the presence of the Lord that is in this room. You know what that, you know, the good news about that? You can't give away what you don't have. True? Come, Holy Spirit. Set this captive free. Come, Holy Spirit, remove that mind-binding spirit that stops me from thinking about going bigger than my own capacity. I want to dream big, and then I want to dream bigger. True? More than I can hope or imagine. Well, it would be great if you, do you have any steak? How about, we need some potatoes too. Bread's cool, but come on. You know, if we're going to dream big, let's dream bigger. You know, if you're getting up anyway, why not? True? Let's go beyond status quo. Let's go beyond, you know, when we start looking for expansion, let's just not look at, you know, well, this would be good. We could, this will take care of us for the next 5 years. No, no, no. What are we going to do when the whole community starts coming to church? Right? You know, I understand that company shut down. They have a huge warehouse. We should go talk to them because it holds like several thousand. That would be awesome. Well, what about, we can't afford it? No, no, no. We have a big offering. We can do this. Right? That when you give, you're not giving. Don't be a good Jew. You know what I mean? 10%. That's what's required by the law. We're not under the law. Would you like the Lord just say, well, I'll just give you 10% of your answered prayer? No. You want it pressed down, shaken together, running out, that it pours into you, that there's no more need? Put your money where your mouth is. You know? Oh Lord, do your abundant thing. Here's my token. Don't do that. Be obedient believers. Here's the truth, guys. For a Jewish person, I'm 51% Jewish, so I can say this to you. For a good Jewish person, it's simply this. Follow the law. Give your tithe. That's it. For a Christian, it's Lord, how much do you want me to keep? Because this all belongs to you. Oh, now's the time to get up. Okay, you know, it's like, you know, I've really got to go to the restroom. You know, time to go now. But you understand? It isn't just for your survival. And it's so cool because when you give your all and you run out, guess what? He's the winemaker. He's the bread increaser. He's the fish multiplier. True? The key to all those miracles is this. What do you have? Bring it to me. Let me bless it. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Everything changes. Do we want to live in the miraculous? Then invest in the miraculous. Do you want to see that relationship? Ignite it with prayer. Be involved with the one your heart loves. Communicate with God and He'll communicate with you. What do you want? Dream big. Then dream bigger. Come, Lord. Go ahead, Susie, you want to come up?
No, you did good.
I know, thank you. Yeah, thank you.
No, just let's finish with this. It's exactly what I started out with.
See?
Sometimes, you didn't even know you were preaching my sermon.
No, I didn't.
I influenced him so greatly. You know, it's sometimes we don't hunger and thirst for more because we don't know there's more. Until the more is presented, we present to you today the more. There is always more. It's not that God is, you know, listen, it's all there given to us. Everything pertaining to life and godliness has been given to us. But it's us taking the access. Are we going to do it? Are we going to knock on the door and receive the more? It's very easy to roll over and go to sleep and go, ah, he didn't answer, going back to bed. You know, it's at that point for every one of us that we decide, no, I'm getting up and I'm going to knock until my knuckles are bleeding until that answer comes. And I love what Tom said. You know, it's like as long as you're up, how about not just bread, but how about a nice steak and a bottle of Chianti? I mean, as long as you're up, Lord. And it made me think of Caleb's daughter. And there was that moment where she asked her husband, Othniel, she goes, go ask my dad for land. And so he goes and asks Caleb, you know, can we have land? And he goes, yes. And then she jumps off her donkey, runs to her father and says, give us streams too. And he goes, okay. I love that. Ask for streams too.
Mm-hmm. That's Amen. Good. Amen. So Holy Spirit, we pray right now that you would begin there to be an awakening. And guys, listen, you know, the good news is you're not going to have to eat manna. The bad news is you have to belly up to the bar.
That's right.
You have to be a participant in this. Will this cost you? You bet.
Yes.
Here's the good thing about Christianity. It's affordable for everyone.
Yes.
It will cost you every single dime you got, but not 1 cent more than you can afford. And as you invest yourself into the kingdom, he will give you, pressed down, shaken together, running out all over. Once you get to that conclusion that Christianity is going to cost you everything, the rest is easy. Dead men don't complain too much. You know? And the Lord would call us to that place of freedom, that we're no longer consumed with ourselves, but that we're walking with him, investing in him, and receiving back from him that which we need pertaining to life. So Lord, I pray right now that you would loosen the purse strings of our heart, that we wouldn't hold back our emotions, we would not hold back our love, but you release the passion that we might walk with you in fullness of your spirit. And Lord, that generosity that comes into us, that you would multiply it out so that everyone that comes in contact with us see that we have a great and wonderful, generous God who will meet every single need no matter what. Begin with me, Lord. Let judgment begin in the house of the Lord and let that deliverance come in me. In Jesus' name, amen.